As Christ followers, prayer is how we communicate with God. Today we're going to examine the Lord's Prayer so that praying becomes something more than what we just recite. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, Jesus told them, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That's how it reads in the New International Version. The Lord's Prayer that we pray in church and that you sang is very close to the King James Version. Let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today I'm going to break down the Lord's Prayer into phrases so that we can understand a little better what Jesus means when he tells us how to pray. The first phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The third of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses, the third commandment is, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Hallowed means holy. Even though we can and should talk to God as a friend, we need to remember that we are talking to someone who is infinitely more powerful and infinitely more important than even the President of the United States. We need to be respectful. We need to remember who it is that we're talking to. God's presence is our joy. God will give you joy. God will give you a peace in your soul that this world can never know. Prayer is how we stay aware of God's presence. Prayer is how we stay joyful in our hearts. Talk to Jesus. He will make you aware of his presence. I found that if I want answers to my prayers, I must pray. I must talk to Jesus. Believe in his presence and talk to him. If you have enough faith to talk to Jesus out loud, you have enough faith to trust God to answer your prayers in God's way and in God's time. Talk to Jesus as you would to a father who loves you and who wants you to be happy. When you pray, God always hears you. When you talk to somebody, when you want to talk to somebody and nobody else is around, God is around. God hears you. God always hears you when you talk to him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom comes to each one of us when we invite Jesus into our hearts to be the Lord of our life. Pray to Jesus. Ask him to enter your heart. Ask him to enter all of your heart and to crowd out all of your sins so that you will never be alone. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you will never be alone again. Sin is what makes us feel alone. Sin is what separates us from God. At Christmas, we sing the hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." That third verse, listen to these words. How silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. He'll enter into your heart too. Just ask him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should ask Jesus daily for a heart to love him, to obey him, to do his will. Don't be half-hearted about asking Jesus into your heart. A divided heart will only bring you sorrow. Ask Jesus to make you wholehearted for him. For those of us who have invited Jesus into our hearts, the kingdom of God is within you. It's like a garden growing in your soul. We plant vegetables, berries, fruits, and flowers. We never plant weeds. In fact, weeds grow in our gardens even though we don't plant weeds. That's why we have to weed gardens and pull all those little weeds out, roots and all. When we let weeds grow too big, then we have to use a shovel to get the root out. I've seen thistle bushes grow 5 feet tall, and then the wind blows all those thistle seeds all over the garden. And you will be pulling lots of little thistle plants out of your garden next spring if you don't weed your garden this summer. Get them out while they're little, before they get too big. Weeds are like the bad habits. Just one bad habit can grow huge enough to choke out the joy in your life. Vegetables, berries, flowers, fruits, those are like good habits. The good habits don't grow there by themselves. We have to plant them. We have to cultivate them. We have to care for them. The gardens of our heart are a lifelong responsibility of rooting out our own bad habits and watering the good fruits of love, which are joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is talking about providing for our needs. Ask Jesus to provide for your needs today and let Jesus worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the needs you might have tomorrow. Let God worry about tomorrow. Thank God for providing for our needs today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 is where Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." If you cannot stop worrying about your own needs, begin to pray for the needs of others. We tend to not worry about our own needs so much when we pray for the needs of others. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses
as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Sometimes I would like to take this line out of the Lord's Prayer and erase it clear out of the Bible. This is the way a lot of people feel. It's just too hard to do. This forgiving business is just too difficult and too humbling to do. Sometimes I feel like taking a pair of scissors and cutting out and throwing away every reference to forgiving that's in the Bible. But then, that would mean throwing away all of the references about God forgiving me. Right after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says some of the scariest words in the Bible. Jesus says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." We must be willing to put God's will before our own and forgive others as God has forgiven us. There are times when it is necessary to cut ties with some people, especially in cases of abuse. You can forgive someone and choose to not continue having a relationship with them. Sometimes this is necessary. If forgiveness seems impossible, believe in God's promise. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "For nothing is impossible with God." Stand on God's promise to a young mother who would have to someday forgive many people for torturing and murdering her firstborn child. For nothing is impossible with God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. No one can pray those words who does not try to keep out of temptation for themselves. God will never tempt you to sin. Hear that? God will never tempt you to sin. Jesus is always near to deliver you from sin, but you have to talk to him. God will renew your love for him each time you pray, and every time you pray, God will remind you of his presence. Keep praying. We need a constant renewing of our love for God in order to get away and in order to stay away from sin. Jesus knows, and Jesus tells us all through his word, the Bible, that the devil is real and someone to be avoided. Evil is not just some mental concept of bad choices that we're to watch out for. Jesus calls the devil the evil one. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to deliver us from the evil one. Join with me and decide today to turn your back on temptation Walk away from it. Leave it behind. Avoid it. And if you're holding it, throw it down. Jesus will help you one day at a time. We follow Jesus so that he can lead us away from temptation. The whole reason for avoiding temptation is so that we can obey God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That phrase, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, that phrase reminds me of a cheer at a football game. If you went to a home football game and you sat in the bleachers with the people who were cheering the home football team, but you wore the jacket from the opposing team with the opposing team's colors, people would notice and they might ask you whose side you're on, whose team you're on. You would not be pretty popular at all. Take sides. Let God see that you're on his team. Let God see with your life that you're on his side. Let everybody see that you're on God's team. Be willing to live your life to God's glory. Be ready and willing to take a stand for Jesus, especially when other people don't. Don't ever be deceived. The devil will do absolutely everything possible to convince you that he is in control of this world. Don't be deceived. God is in control of this world because all of the kingdoms of this world and all of the kingdom of heaven and all of the power and all of the glory, all of it belongs to Jesus now and forever. Jesus promises in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The word amen at the end of the prayer, that's the conclusion. The word amen means so be it. It is decided. When we say amen, we are declaring that we are in agreement with God. Thanks be to God. Now, I invite you to listen and take the words of this Lord's Prayer to heart while I pray. My husband and I will be giving a dramatic presentation skit on the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father, which art in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me? You said, our Father which art in heaven. Here I am. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, kind of like getting my duty done.
All right. Go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be my name.
It means... Good
grief, I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just part of the prayer.
By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
That makes sense. I never thought about what hallowed meant before. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Well, sure, why not?
What are you doing about it?
Me? Doing? Nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here the way you have control of everything up there.
Have I got control of you?
I go to church.
That is not what I asked you. What about your temper? You've really got a problem there, you know. And then there's the way you spend your money, all on yourself. And what about the kinds of books you read and what you watch on TV and all the time you spend on your phone and computer?
I wish you'd stop picking on me. I'm just as good as the rest of those people at church. Maybe even better.
Excuse me. I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for it, like you, for example.
Oh, all right. I guess I do have a few hang-ups.
Now that you mention it, I probably could name some others.
So could I.
I hadn't thought about it very much until now, but yes, I think I'd really like to cut out some of those things. I would like to, you know, be really free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and I. Some victories can be truly won. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Now, look, Lord, I really need to finish this up. This is taking a whole lot longer than it usually does. Give us this day our daily bread.
Well, go on.
I'm scared to.
Scared of what?
I know what you'll say.
Well, try me and see.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
What about Anne?
Oh! See, I knew it. I knew you would bring her up. Why, Lord, she's told lies about me. She spread stories about my family. She never paid me back the money she owes me. I've sworn to get even with her.
But your prayer, what about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying that load of bitterness inside of you, is it?
No.
But I'll feel better as soon as I get even.
Boy, have I got some plans for her. She will wish she has never moved into our neighborhood.
You won't feel any better. You will feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you already are. But I can change all that.
You can? How?
Forgive Anne. Then I'll forgive you. Then the hate and sin will be Anne's problem and not yours. You will have settled your heart.
Well, you're right. You always are. And now, more than I want to get revenge against Anne, I want to be right with you. But, oh, all right, I forgive her. I really do forgive her. Help her to find the right road in life. Lord, she's bound to be awfully miserable now that I think about it. Anybody who goes around doing the things she does to other people has got to be out of it. Lord, somehow, some way, show her the right way.
There now, wonderful. How do you feel?
Well,
Not bad. Not bad at all. In fact, I feel pretty great. You know, I don't think that I'll have to go to bed uptight tonight for the first time since I can remember. And maybe I won't be so tired from now on because I'm not getting enough rest.
You're not through with your prayer. Go on.
Oh, all right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good, good. I'll do that.
Thanks.
Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, don't turn the TV on when you know the laundry needs to be done and the house needs to be picked up. Also, about the time you spend with your friends, if you can't influence the conversation to positive things, perhaps you should rethink the value of those friendships. Another thing, your neighbors and friends shouldn't be your standard for keeping up. And please don't make bargains with me.
Okay, but I don't understand that last part.
Oh, sure you do. You've done it lots of times. You get caught in a bad situation, you get in trouble, and then you come running to me. Lord, help me out of this mess, and I promise you I'll never do it again. You remember some of those bargains you tried to make with me?
Yes, Lord, I do. And I'm ashamed. I really am ashamed of that.
Which bargain are you remembering?
Well, I'm remembering the night that my husband was gone and the children and I were home by ourselves. The wind was blowing so hard in that storm, I thought that the roof would go off any minute. There were tornado warnings. And I remember saying, "Oh God, if you spare us, I'll never skip my devotions again."
I protected you, but you didn't keep your promise, did you?
No, I didn't. Oh gosh, I'm sorry, Lord. I really am. I thought up until now that if I prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, then I could just do what I liked. I really did not expect anything like this to ever happen.
Go ahead and finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? Do you know what would really make me happy?
No, I don't. But I'd like to know. Lord, I want to please you. I can see what a mess I've made of my life. And I can see how great it would be to really be one of your followers.
You just answered the question.
I did.
Yes. The thing that would bring me glory is to have people like you truly love me. And I see that happening between us. Now that some of these old sins are exposed and out of the way, there is no telling what we can do together.
Lord, let's see what we can make of me, okay?
Yes, let's see.
Now I invite all of us to pray the Lord's Prayer together and see what happens.
Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Our sermon next week comes to you from Luke, and we will be talking about Jesus' transfiguration. I invite you to read that passage in your Bible, Luke 9:28-36.
Read your Bible. It's a pretty good book.